The good people at Manscaped have partnered with us here at the Beautifully Designed Game podcast with an exclusive offer just for you as a thank you for tuning in. Visit uk.manscaped.com, enter promo code TFT20 for 20% off your order. Believe me, your balls will thank you.
Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Beautifully Designed Game podcast. My name's Marcus Marrett, and on today's episode, I am very happy to be speaking to a man who goes by the name of the Pencil Craftsman, and that is the ideal point to hand over to him because I can't think of any more ideal title to give Liam and his talents.
Hi, Marcus. Thanks very much for having me on, mate.
No, thank you for joining us. So, Liam, can you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Sure. My name's Liam Stokes-Massey, and I'm an illustrator from Wrexham in North Wales. Primarily, I try to do photorealism, mostly commission-based work from just members of the public, you know, if they want their dogs drawing or their kids or whatever. I've been doing that for about 6 years now, full time. And it's only really recently, probably the last year or two, that I've tried to get into doing more football based work, really. But that's what I do. Yeah.
And was photorealism a particular approach that you had studied or you had discovered early when you started drawing, or is it an area and a style that you feel that you've naturally more developed to and allowed the universe to kind of connect those dots in that way?
I suppose the latter. So basically, it must be about 10 years ago now, I was just round a mate's house one night, and he's really into his comics, like DC and Transformers as well. And
oh, really? Yeah.
I've got really no interest in them, to be honest, the Transformers anyway. And I was just looking through a comic one night, and I thought, these just look really fun to copy or to draw.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's literally it. I copied a few pages out of that, and then that's kind of what set it all off. And then just over the years, as with anything, you know, the more you do it, the better you get, the better your eyes get at measuring distances and angles and whatnot, and before you know it, you're getting something that's closer and closer to the photograph that you're copying, basically. And then people started asking me to do work for them. It's like, oh, can you draw my kids, can you draw my dog? And just kind of snowballed a bit from there, really. So
Is it with the approach that you take to your work, do you find you have to consciously be practicing as well as doing, in between commission work? Do you find that with working with wet material, I always think of it as a real craft approach to illustration, especially kind of through the eyes and what I do and the more graphic approach, I see a real craft in what you do. And I always consider it to be an area that takes a lot of honing and a lot of skill. Is it like, do you feel that you need to consciously be practicing as well as doing the work that you are paid for, that you know, using your own time in that way?
It's a good question, that, actually. I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think because I'll probably be drawing every day, if not maybe, you know, for one day a week I'll have a rest, but every other day I'll be working on commissions. So
I was just going to jump in though, but is that maybe a sign of just where you are now, that you are that busy with commission work? You're maybe that's the rhythm that you're into now, because you are you have such ability that you are getting so much work in, which is what more of a reflection could you want in that way, which is great. Maybe that just happens to be where you are, that you don't have the time to because you're doing work anyway.
Possibly. I mean, that's it. I think it, for me, it's kind of the opposite. So in my downtime, so when I'm my time in between commissions, I want to be kind of like learning, you know, different techniques and different ways.
Oh, okay.
Of, you know, kind of unlearning what I've been doing, if you like, which is a bit weird to say, because, you know, like I said, I want to be getting into doing more football work.
Okay.
You know, getting into different publications, and it just seems at the moment more kind of graphic stuff is really popular, and if it means that I have to kind of incorporate that and get into that way of thinking and combine that with my work somehow, then that's kind of exciting. And
okay, you know,
if that makes sense.
No, absolutely, yeah. And actually, before we go any deeper into your work, can you let people know where they can find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Pencil Craftsman. I've got just launched a website. It still kind of needs a lot of work doing to it, but I thought I'll get it launched and then it gives me more impetus to actually get it done.
Okay.
And that's just pencilcraftsman.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and I've got a shop at Etsy as well.
I know that very well myself.
Thank you very much.
where did the name Pencil Craftsman come from? When did that name start and stick?
Well, I've had that for about 6 or 7 years, and it basically came from the idea that what I was doing wasn't art. I don't think I feel the same way now, but at the time, I had a lot of people telling me, you know, what you do is just, you're just copying photos, so there's not really any expression in it or anything. And that kind of got me thinking at the time, you know, oh, maybe they're right. And then that's, I saw it more as a craft as opposed to an art.
Yeah.
So, that's where it comes from. But like I said, I'm not sure if I feel the same way anymore. But that's a whole different debate, isn't it?
Well, yeah, maybe that just shows that that you're developing yourself.
Mm.
You know, when I look at your Tamaki Yallop submission in the last book from Dave Will, I play. So I'm just going to jump in with this now and just take a wee bit of time from you while it's in the front of my mind to say, with how much 5 and 7 aside I play, I've always got one of those dream ideas of doing essentially a graphic novel based on a game of like a weekly game of fives or sevens, based in a city, based in a particular era of time, and it's all about the lives of the people that come together to play this game and how they cross over. And I've always thought of it of all being in mono, so all black and white. And I wouldn't, like, I've always thought I would love to kind of art direct it, but not do the illustrations. And it was your Tamaki Yallop made me just know that if I ever got to do that, I would absolutely ask you if you were available to do it. And because the graphic novels I always loved were not so much the superhero stories, but the other, graphic novels are so much more than just what people think of as kind of superhero stories. And it was the stories based more in the real world. And often those illustrations were done in far more kind of, or what at least looked like more wet and dry material than kind of more graphic illustrations. And it was when I saw that made me just know that Liam is absolutely the one that would be ideal to do it if it ever got to happen. So I'm just going to say that right now while I remind myself to do so.
Yeah, you let me know, I'll be there, man. What a compliment that is. Thank you very much.
Well, fantastic. No problem. I don't even remember where we were. You know what? Tell us a little bit about Liam and his connection with football. Like, what is it that you like football and your connection to it?
Okay. Well, I guess going back to when I was a kid, I was brought up as a United fan, a Man United fan. So from the age of six...
You only need to say United and the whole world knows what you mean.
It's true. So my stepdad at the time was he was from Manchester, a huge United fan, and he had all the season review videos, yes. VHSs. Yes. So I used to watch them religiously. So all through the 90s, like if I ever went on Mastermind, my specialist subject would be Man United, 1992 to 1999, and I think I'd smash it.
Really? That was absolutely my era of football. Really? And my dad would he would question me with what is the value in all of that knowledge, because there was something about football in that era that my brain was just a sponge for it. But even with non-United players and like West Ham players, if you say specifically United, I don't think I would challenge you on that. I think I'll give you dues on that.
Yeah, well, like that's it. I think that's obviously I was just indoctrinated then. You know, that was it then. Like,
yeah,
I would love football for the rest of my life. You know, I played it since I was a kid, so even now I play for regularly plays sevens or six a side, but then at the weekend I play for a local club called Brumbo FC.
Okay, brilliant. Tell us about Brumbo FC and you as a player.
I'll get lynched if I get this wrong. I think they're in tier three of the Welsh league system. So we've got Welsh.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So
a decent level then.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I mean, I'm primarily a reserve player, but I have played a few games for the first team. And it is a good standard, to be fair.
Yeah. It must be if it's the third tier.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really good. It's a really well run club as well. You know, it's got a really, for a local team, it's got a pretty good history as well. I play centre back, kind of a footballing centre back, I'd say. That's what what other people say anyway.
Can I tell you a trend that everyone I have spoken to so far that has ever played football have all been defenders? They honestly absolutely have, yes. And there's been a fair few conversations so far. I honestly can't think of anyone who is even a midfielder and no strikers. Yeah, that's honestly true.
Well, it's weird because like I was always centre mid, like always. I stopped playing for a good 7 or 8 years. And then I thought, one day me and my wife went for a walk around the local park and there was a football team just training on there. And then it kind of gave me a bit of a yearning for it again. So I joined them and they were just short of defenders. So I said, I'll play defence. And then it's just kind of stuck. But to be honest, I'm 34 now, so I'm not sure how my legs would cope on a box to box midfield position. But I really enjoy it. Really enjoy it. It's good group of lads
From playing in the centre of midfield and now playing as a centre back, what if I was to ask you what did you most or what do you most kind of apply from being a central midfielder to a centre back? And I'm asking as a goalkeeper that is very much 100% a goalkeeper. So and so I'm asking you as someone that hasn't done that. So is there anything you can answer to that, or is it more a case of it's just playing football so much really?
Kind of, because I don't think I've ever really been, I've never really been a very, very good student of the game. Do you know what I mean? When people talk tactics at me, normally my eyes just glaze over.
Okay.
So it's like, in my mind, it's instinct.
Okay, instinct is your answer then, yeah.
Yeah, just like in the moment and just adapt to it in the moment. I mean, obviously, you can read the game and, your positioning is a big deal, but for the most part...
You also said you were a wee bit more of a defensive central midfielder, no?
To be honest, I'd probably say I was more the opposite, more of attacking.
I don't know where I got that.
Well, I think I used to bag a few goals, which I miss.
Oh, really? But, oh, good man. Yeah.
Yeah, but those days are gone now, I think. But because my manager
were you a late arriver into the box kind of a central defender? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so. Or just like, you know, from just long range shooting. You know.
You know what? I was actually thinking of Gary Speed earlier today.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, you saying a goal scoring central midfielder, well, Gary Speed.
I'll take that. Yeah.
Gary absolutely. Speed in his Leeds days when he had that longer hair. I always used to think of him playing for Sampdoria because I like so with the Mediterranean blood in my family, I always have an eye for football from that region, and I always saw Gary Speed he was a Mediterranean Welshman. I always thought, yeah. You know, like yeah. I could see him playing alongside Dino Baggio for a season at Sampdoria. You know,
absolutely, yeah, fantastic. jealous of.
and give us some of your kind of footballing heroes.
Ooh, that's a good one. Well, being obviously, like I said, a Man United fan, like throughout the 90s, you know, the midfield was amazing. So I'd go for Scholesy, David Beckham, Eric Cantona. But then, you know, without being, you know, take the bias out of it, Dennis Bergkamp and Zinedine Zidane were just, yeah, they were two of my favourites, I'd say, as well. But yeah, strange, like not so. You know, I don't know if it's just the nostalgia, but when I think of my favourite footballers, they always seem to be from that era. It's not so much now.
But then saying if nostalgia is the way that you make your decision, then that is just as valid as if someone who says, oh, well, it is Cristiano Ronaldo because he has scored these amount of goals in these amount of games and won these amount of trophies, you know?
So it's like
your choice of kit. Your choice of kit could be like an emotive choice, or it could be right from a visual aesthetic point of view and from a design perspective, this is a nice looking kit, you know? So, you know, if it's a nostalgic choice, then that's just as valuable as an answer for sure.
Yeah, sweet. I'm happy with them too, especially the Dan and Bergkamp, and then the United lot.
And so jumping into your work, and we'll come back on to playing later, because there's a few points to pick up on that and on Liam as a footballer. And actually, the club you play for, is there anywhere online that people can follow the club or see what's happening with you?
Yeah, I'd say, well, I think they're on all like social media platforms, but I think they're probably most active on Twitter. So I think if you just search Brumbo FC, and that's spelled B-R-Y-M for mother, B-O-F-C, so Brumbo.
I knew there was going to be a reason to ask for the spelling.
I'm not sure. Obviously, it's a Welsh name. I'm not sure exactly where it comes from.
Okay. And so, jumping back to the work that you do produce, can you talk us through how you work technically? What materials you use for a typical piece of work?
Sure. So I really only use Mars Stadler technical pencils. So I've got three of them, a 2H, a HB and a 2B. And that just gets me through every piece pretty much. So I'll normally just start off with a rough sketch on a piece just to kind of work out the composition to make sure all the proportions are right. Especially with faces, it's really helpful because obviously, you know, what if one thing's slightly out of place, it just makes the whole thing look off. So that's really important. I'll send that to the customer, the client, to give the approval. And then once they say they're ready to go, they're happy with it, I'll just start putting the detail in then layer by layer. and just gradually building it up until we get to the final piece, really, and sending them progress photos along the way just to make sure that they're happy. Yeah, that's typically how it goes. But recently, I decided to kind of dip my feet into the digital world.
Okay.
Don't know if you want to talk about that yet. But,
No, absolutely. Whatever you want to talk about.
Well, yeah, I thought, like, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, like, you know, wanted to get into more football illustration. It just seemed that digital was the way to go. As much, you know, I've been very fortunate to get work for these Football Times using my traditional means. But I thought, you know, the possibilities would be so much wider with digital work. And I thought now was probably the right time to add that to my arsenal, if you like. So, yeah, I've had an iPad Pro for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
If you are. Three or four weeks maybe, and using Procreate, and that's kind of I think I've taken to it really well, to be honest, and it feels like it's a game changer for me, so really, really excited about that.
Oh, fantastic. There is a specific piece of work that I've seen of yours that I know from you telling the world that you've been using Procreate on your iPad is the key for more great kind of action shot figurative piece, and he has he's engaged with it himself, is that right?
I might have started it a few days before I went away recently to the Lake District, and I pretty much got it finished while I was away, but I was sending him updates as you do, just on Instagram, just in the hope that they see it. And luckily, he saw it, gave me the thumbs up, said it was looking good, and he's seen the finished piece as well, and he was really happy with that. So, what better praise could you want, really? But yeah, I was really happy with how it turned out as well. So yeah, that was just like an added bonus, really.
And as a piece of work, can you take us through the process of that? So you're still relatively early in using Procreate, and so there must have been a lot of learning how to use the program and working on an iPad as well as producing such a strong piece of work.
Thank you. Well, I'll be honest. I think it's just such an intuitive piece of software.
Okay.
In my mind, because I think I used two brushes on the app itself. So it was just the HB pencil and the wet acrylic brush. And yeah, it just everything just felt like it flowed. You know, obviously the preciousness that you get with creating an original, like, traditional piece of artwork is gone, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing yet, because on the one hand, obviously, it gives you more freedom, because you're not worrying about messing up or making a mistake. But on the other hand, yeah, it's a weird one. My initial feelings about it is it's fantastic, because I'm just completely loose when I'm creating it, basically. When we're all through that piece, of course, you know, the attention to detail, I try to get as much in as I could, but you're not worrying about every single stroke, because you know, with a tap of two fingers, it's gone. You know, you can undo it. So yeah, it was really refreshing.
So do you think that could almost make you because that is kind of literally giving you freedom with your work, essentially, that you can try something, and if it doesn't work, go back and try something new within, or rework something within however many seconds. So have you found that has given you a different approach to what you've been wanting to do work-wise, and the type of work I guess more the style of work?
It's a funny one, because I don't think I've experimented it. I've not had it long enough, I don't think, to experiment in ways that I'm aiming to. But that's the hope, really.
Yes.
Like I said, getting into the digital medium will hopefully mean that my style will develop. I'll be able to incorporate different techniques that I wouldn't normally either be comfortable with or be able to do with traditional means. So that's the aim. And it's just quite, you know, it's really, when you think about it, it's really exciting to think where your work could be in, you know, so many years or even months time. So yeah, we'll see.
Absolutely. Exciting. And I have noticed your Twitter bio does include the title football shirt collector.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about Liam Stokes Massey, the football shirt collector?
I think he's got a bit of a problem, to be honest. I think it was at the point of around maybe 300 shirts.
Wow.
It went a bit mad, but I've been collecting for a good maybe 6 or 7 years, I think.
Okay.
So most of them were just charity shop finds, really. So, you know, when I first started collecting, you could get a football shirt in probably every charity shop that you visited, but obviously with the popularity and how that's grown over the past few years, and especially over lockdown, they're quite rare to find nowadays. I found anyway, personally, in the ones that I visit. But it's good. I've got them all kind of boxed up. I've got a special selection of 5 or 6 shirts that I keep in my wardrobe at home.
Okay.
But the rest are just, stored elsewhere. But I can't help myself, really. If I see one, I'll have to pick it up normally. But I did, funnily enough, I did part with a few just to make a bit of space for some more, really. It got to the point where I was just kind of like, if it was a shirt I didn't have already, I'd just get it. Because obviously they're only, you know, £3 or £4 each normally in a charity shop. But
yeah,
I thought it's kind of developing now into something that a bit more serious. So I'd like to make room for shirts that either mean something to me or that I really, really would love to have in the collection. So I think currently it's probably around the 180 mark, possibly.
Right. Okay. So can you tell us about the collection that you've got in your wardrobe, the 4 or 5 you've got in there?
Yeah. So I've got two Juventus shirts. I've got a 98-99 home shirt and a 96-97 long sleeve home shirt as well. A United 92-93 home shirt, Liverpool 95-96 home shirt, and then two shirts from Roma's 2001 to 2002 season, I think, both in long sleeve. So
I've got
a bit of a thing for long sleeves. Yeah, I love a long sleeve shirt. So. They're pride of place.
I was talking to someone on another show last week who used to work for Adidas in kit design. We were talking about why so few shirts you see now are available in long-sleeved. Because one of my favourite shirts, and I actually rarely wear it because I like it that much. I don't, as a keeper, I don't want to be wearing it too much, is the Celtic shirt. I think it was Brendan Rodgers' first year. I think the Celtic 125 years shirt, a New Balance one, it was just such a clean round neck.
Right.
Hooped shirt, and the badge was all in, was gold out. It was just gold that year.
Lovely.
There was a nice kind of wee bit of gold trim on the sleeves and on the round collar, and I've got that in long sleeved. It's like the perfect clean Celtic shirt, and with hoops, there's not an enormous amount you can do, and it's very easy to just, well, because it's hoops, I always think it's very easy to do too much with it, and the cleaner you make it, and it's without a sponsor, and it's a shirt that without a sponsor, it then is just ideal. You know, some shirts, well, most shirts actually work better with a sponsor in reality, but it being long sleeved is a big part of that for me.
Yeah, I get that. I totally get that.
So are they the shirts you kind of mostly get to wear yourself when you play, or do you play in a kit for the team?
No, well, to be honest, I don't wear them. I don't, well, the ones in the wardrobe.
Oh,
anyway,
right, okay.
I don't wear them. I just kind of like have them there just to look at. Because I think my biggest fear would be to wear it, stick it in the wash, and then for it to come out with its sponsor missing or something like that.
Okay.
I hear so many horror stories. But yeah, normally I'll just wear, I've got a few in my drawer. I've got like a Copenhagen shirt, a Zenit St. Petersburg shirt, Retro United shirt as well. It's kind of like, yeah. Probably, yeah, I'm certain it's not legit, but it was just too nice to pass up. And I don't normally condone that, but yeah, so I kind of like chop and change every now and again, depending on how I'm feeling. But yeah.
And are there any kits you'd like to do a shout out now that you are hoping to add to the collection at some point? And so if anyone's listening and has them going, you'd like to do a call out for them now?
Well, the thing is with that is that the shirts that I'd want, I think they'd just be astronomical now in prices, you know. I think like my aim is to get every United shirt, every Premier League era United shirt.
Okay.
So from the 90s, I'm missing the Newton Heath shirt, the golden green away shirt or third shirt, and the black Sharp UCAM one as well I'm missing.
Okay.
But I know, I'm pretty certain that, you know, you're looking at 100 to 200 quid for them. So we'll see, you know, if things pick up and I'd be able to, you know, to fork out for them, I'd love to. But they're the two, really. They're my holy grails, I'd say.
Would you ever consider doing a series of illustrations based on football shirts? And I say that tying it back into on your Etsy shop, you've got two beautiful illustrations of peak era Predator boots for me. Have you ever considered illustrating any of your kits or have you, and are you yet to show the world?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to. I just think, you know, they've just been done so often and so well by some people. You know, you think of the likes of, most notably probably Jimmy O'Mara from Entire Design on Twitter, who's famous for doing the current players in old kits.
Okay, yes.
You know, and then they're all fantastic. And there's also, you know, Hawley Design is another one who's quite big on social media, where he's done that many different products and different prints. I think he's probably, you know, you think of a kit, he's probably illustrated it in some way already. Like I think there was one print he's done is he's illustrated every single shirt that's ever been displayed at a World Cup since 1930, which,
oh, wow,
you
know, yes.
I can't get my head around that, to be honest. But, so I mean, it's like some people have just done it so well that I just don't think I could bring anything to it, if that makes sense.
Well, I think it does. I in the football work I do, it tends to be stadium illustrations or illustrations where the stadium is a kind of central theme, and the more editorial conceptual work, because when I see all the beautiful, full of action, figurative based player portrait type work, I always think for me there are so many that do that type of work and do that type of work ideally. But for me that I think is a positive, because it then makes me think to veer into something that is more of a voice from yourself. And so yeah, maybe it's just a case of seeing it in a way that, I get real satisfaction from the work that others are doing.
Yeah, I'd say so. Because that's it. I mean, ultimately, I know it sounds very, what's the word, or maybe insincere, but for a lot of us, to create work is normally with a view to making some kind of income from it. You know, I hate to say that, but I think to kind of enter a genre or a medium where, you know, like I said, so many people are already doing it so well, it's just this kind of like, from my point of view, I'd rather put my efforts elsewhere into something, like you said, that's something that's more, you know, from yourself, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But there isn't any reason, I think, to say that you have to hate saying that, because it's your craft, it's how you choose to live your life. So that's your choice of career, mm-hmm. just as much as anyone else. And the commercial kind of side of it, and the handling, the doing it as a full-time profession, that's mm-hmm. just like, that is just much of a part of it as anybody who does any other type of a job though. So, you know, I think, no, I don't think you have to think that at all yourself. I think it's good and a positive for you to think of that in that way, because that just shows that you've got a professional approach to it, which, you have to have, as well as the, yeah. the enormous talent you've got.
Thank you. No, I think, I think that's it, isn't it? Because ultimately, it's hard to explain. And it's really weird because I don't really have these kinds of conversations very often. Do you know what I mean? About the actual, the work that you do and why. So I don't really know myself sometimes. You know, am I making sense?
Well, it does, because if they're not questions that you've asked yourself, then... it means that you don't have those answers at the front of your mind, and that's when it just takes a little bit of digging, and that's when you find something when you go digging, you know.
So it just feels like it's so kind of instinctive at the moment, like I said, because I'm like, even though I've been doing my job for six years, this venturing into the football illustration industry just feels like a whole different path, which it is really. So I feel like I'm still kind of finding my feet a little bit and trying to work out what work I want to do.
Yes,
you know, and what I want to be, because ultimately you want to be known for or associated with a certain style or a certain specific subject. So, you know, I'm sure that will come in time, but at the moment it just feels like I've got all these ideas swimming around my head, and it's exciting.
Write
to see
them
which
down
ones.
Make sure you write them down, get a I have a little it's not a black book, it's actually a dark blue book, but write them down so they don't disappear, because as much as you think they will stick, it is a wee bit of advice from me. You choose to listen to it or not, but write them down. Because I've lost a few, I'm sure of that. So being based in Wrexham, whenever I hear Wrexham, I always think of them beating Arsenal in the, was it the League Cup?
It was the FA Cup.
That must have been big for the area, no?
Oh yeah, huge. I mean, it's still, like you say, it's still talked about now. I think, you know, I think even in this year's competition, or last year's competition rather, I'm sure I saw some footage of it being brought up on BBC. You know, it's just infamous, isn't it? History. But Wrexham's obviously we're not at the level that we were by any means. You know, I think we've been in the conference or the National League for, how long is it now? It's a long time. But hopefully this season, there's talks of a takeover. They made some good signings. So hopefully this is the year we get back into the Football League.
And are you optimistic for the season ahead for United?
We'll see. I don't know. I mean, you never know these days, do you? It's you know, you look at the likes of Chelsea, you've made all these, amazing signings, and I've seen Liverpool have signed Thiago today. Has it gone through? I'm not sure if it's gone through 100%.
I'm not sure.
But yeah, and then, you know, just United are just frustrating. So I'm sure most United fans will say, you know, the signings front anyway. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. You never know, I suppose.
That's true. Yeah. They might surprise you.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you talk us through your Arrigo Sacchi portrait for these Football Times? It was for the December AC Milan issue in 2019. Can you talk us through the materials you used for that and how you approached creating a portrait of of Arrigo Sacchi?
That was just, you know, traditional pencil. So I used my mechanical pencils. I believe I used watercolour paper. So it had a nice textured tooth to it, which I find is always good for getting really good depth. And I think if I'm not mistaken, that was my first portrait for These Football Times as well, which was a pretty special to be, you know, when that email came through from Omar, that was like, I can still remember it now. Like the feeling was just amazing. I think I even did a little dance in the kitchen probably. But so as I mentioned earlier, I just followed my normal process, which would, you know, to work out the proportions and the composition, and then send that to Omar for him to give the okay, and then just kind of follow my normal process. However, with these illustrations, I kind of try to go down a different route and not necessarily go for the photorealistic aspect, more kind of illustrative. So yes. Trying to use more cross-hatching, which I found really, really cool, actually, because it was a relatively new technique for me, and you really find that you kind of make a lot of headway especially when you're doing something to like a deadline as well. And, you know, if it's something as important as like a personal milestone, I found anyway that I could do some of my best work.
Okay. Yep.
But yeah, it was good. It was good. I think it came out quite well as well. So
There was also a portrait of Jurgen Klopp I saw you produce earlier this year. Can you talk us through the materials you use for that? Because there is something about his beard that just, in my eyes, just the way I'm viewing it, it's almost as if it's chiselled in stone. There's something real sculptural about the portrait itself, but especially the beard. I don't know if it's the way that the light is hitting it, and can you talk us through that as a piece of work?
So I did that at the beginning of lockdown, and I'm a huge fan of Jurgen Klopp. Obviously, you know, most people will agree that he is a lovely man, and I'm a huge believer in, you know, the kind of politics that he has as well. So, you know, my wife's a Liverpool fan, her whole family's Liverpool, so I thought, I'll just do a Jurgen Klopp portrait. And again, I think I use watercolour paper for that, and it's purely for the reasons that you can get a lot of depth. You can get more depth in it than you can on smooth paper, I find, because the light doesn't seem to reflect as well off the graphite as it does on smooth paper. So you can get a lot more darkness in it, which came in really handy for the beard, actually. But that kind of went for more... a more illustrative technique on the face, but then for the beard, I thought it could help it really pop if I tried to make it look a bit more realistic. Possibly with his hair as well, if I remember rightly. But I was really happy with that. That came out really well, and I think it was the first piece that I've done that kind of went a bit crazy on social media.
Yeah,
I'd say a football related piece anyway. I think it did really well on Twitter, and really chuffed with that one.
It might be that difference in approach between his face and his beard that my eyes are picking up and just engaging so much with his beard. And it's like I could just keep looking at it. There's something really satisfying and engaging about it.
Oh, lovely. Thanks very much.
I can't quite explain, but I'm enjoying it anyway, which is
good. Thank you.
Brilliant. So can you remind people where they can find your work online?
Yeah, sure. So it's just at Pencil Craftsman, and that would be on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. If you want to check out the clock print that we just talked about, it's on my Etsy shop, which you can search for on by at Pencil Craftsman.
Fantastic. And I do absolutely highly recommend everybody to do so. And I'll be sharing a photo of my two new Liam Stokes Mossy Pencil Craftsman Predator illustrations nicely hung up above my shirt collection next week when they arrive. So I do highly recommend everybody to check out Liam's work on his Etsy shop. Brilliant, Liam. That's been fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Thanks on you too. Cheers, Marcus.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.